Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Private Club Radio, your industry source for conversations, news, trends, and updates. I'm your host, Denny Corby. Thank you for being here. This episode features a new friend of mine and arch enemy, Josh Paris. I got to get this off my chest before I go on. I am still bitter because I met Josh in Vegas at the CMAA conference, and me and my buddy Sean Blyle, Members First, y'all know him, good dude. We planned a little poker game, a little poker tournament, a little invite-only VIP thing in Vegas, the CMAA conference, and he got invited, Josh got invited by Sean, and I was doing really well. And side note, I love poker. I love poker, probably too much. I don't play a lot, but I love the game. And let me just say, Josh knocked me out, and I'm just still a little bit bitter. That is all. But I don't let that get in the way of a really good conversation. No, but because of the poker tournament and because of him knocking me out and just us conversing there at conference and after, he and I connected, and he's a really good dude and a really good, sharp leader, a very intelligent leader. And after chatting and just learning about him a bit more from Wade Hampton Country Club, Atlanta Athletic Club, Dunwoody Country Club, Ansley Golf Club, to now he is general manager of Old Town Club, the OTC. You down with OTC? Yeah, you know me. He's also a past chairman of the board of directors for the Carolinas CMAA. A very strong leader. So we talk about leadership, communication strategies. We talk about some club innovations and advice for clubs going through renovations, handling confrontation, and just it's a good quick chat. And before we get to the episode, a quick word from some of our show partners. Engaging new members is a breeze with the award-winning new member onboarding program by our friends over at Members First. Now, this is a unique welcome center and customized microsite aligned with carefully curated emails that make your new members feel appreciated and engaged. This program delivers a consistent process of familiarizing your new members with their club's amenities and programs to ensure that they're engaged by your club early and often. And this whole thing is custom and done in-house. There isn't any templates. There aren't any stock procedures. This is to ensure the right voice and tone for your club. The Members First new member onboarding program is the real deal and not a big time commitment for you or your club. It's 2024 and it's time to change the way you vet your new members. Some traditions are worth modifying. The new member process hasn't changed really in the past 150 years, relying almost solely on social relationships and casual interactions, but lacking in factual data. And this is where Kennis comes in, because the traditional application process tells you very little about someone's behaviors and character until now. Kennis has created an innovative and confidential, comprehensive applicant information gathering process that provides an unrivaled depth of information. The world of member vetting has evolved to a new standard, and Kennis is your turnkey solution to meet this new industry best practice. You can rely on Kennis to provide the facts that you need to make fully educated member decisions, because what you don't know can hurt your club and your members. To learn a little bit more or to set up a call, head on over to membervetting.com, fill out the form. You're going to have a chat with Paul Dank. It's going to be good. He's a great guy. Also, be sure to check out our episodes of Member Vetting here on Private Club Radio. And now, please welcome General Manager of OTC, Mr. Josh Paris, CCM, CCE. You just went through a renovation?
We did. We're buttoning up a pretty massive undertaking here. We converted greens to a ultra dwarf Bermuda strand, Tiff Eagle, redid capillary bunkers, added new fairway space, tee grounds, and then we decided to redo an entire new pool complex with outside dining. So added probably another 4,000 square feet. Yeah, about 4,000 square feet on the backside of the clubhouse throughout. But really just trying to focus on all the amenities pillars here that we offer that, that kind of prop up Old Town. So a little bit something for everyone.
Right now, looking back, what advice would you give to somebody just starting the planning?
Oh, just spend as much time as you can, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I don't think you can over prepare for any size capital project in today's environment. The supply chain issues, we were affected a little bit early on in the project. I mean, we were coming out, but there was, you know, certain motors, there was a significant size filter that was needed for the pump, actually for the pool system. That was 6 months delayed, and that was ordered a year before we started the project. So there were still minimal things that, you know, just would slow it down, and you could find alternate solutions. But in the end, you really wanted to put in what was spec'd by the contractor, as well as the architect. I think here, you know, our original building was completed in 1939. So any time that you're adding on to an older structure pre-1960, you're going to run into issues. A lot of my colleagues that, you know, everyone's building right now. Let me start there. But I think the more time you can put in on the front end, it'll save you on the back end. I think a good communication strategy is always paramount. I think one thing that I wish I would have done better would just continue to communicate to the membership and let them know. That's something that I think we can always improve upon.
Can you touch on that a little bit more? So looking back, how would you communicate more? So like, how did you communicate? How do you think you could have done better?
So I think on the golf side, we did a phenomenal job. I mean, it was pretty cut and dry. You had a begin date, you had an end date, you build in a great contingency window, and barring weather, which someone can touch, can feel, you know, they can look out the window and know it's raining, I can't do any work outside. We were able to kind of update folks more on a weekly basis with the transition, the progress that was taking place within the golf course. Within the other construction, still were affected by some of the elements, but the delays, whether it was the pump, the filters, a contractor got pulled somewhere else or what have you. Just, I've always learned in my industry, unless you know it's for certain, you never commit to writing, putting it out to your members. And unfortunately, during our project, I relied on some folks and was misinformed and miseducated and didn't end too well. I mean, it ended well, but I wish I would have been more educated, more informed throughout, and just kind of let it unfold a little better. I will say, to all my colleagues, just prepare for construction fatigue when you're doing a process, both from the member side. You're disrupting their playground, right? And it's okay for a little bit. Yeah. From the staff, you're asking your team members to really alter their daily routines, as well as the members. We are creatures of habit. So that tends to settle in and kind of can rock the boat. And at the end, as a GM, I find that when you're leading a project, you end up taking on more areas that you're not as familiarly comfortable with and willing to or deal with on a daily basis. So it taxes what you know, and that can be fatigue can set in as well too, because it's just another layer of something that we have to be experts in, that's what's fun about it. But when things are delayed and out of your control, you know, you're the face of the organization.
How much did you account for being over budget, and where do you think you're at?
Oh goodness, I mean, I would say we started in with around about a 10% contingency. We'll end up around that number, maybe a little north of that. But at the end of the day, I will say our group did a really good job in maintaining expenses, even with the delays. So there wasn't a lot of scope creep. And that's the other thing. you know, projects will change throughout. Even with one area we're looking at now, our vision at the beginning of the project has completely changed to what we'll end with. But luckily, that it didn't incur a lot of scope creep and cost expense associated with that.
That's good. And how long has the whole thing been taking? A little bit longer, a little bit shorter? If you would give it a percentage?
Oh, it's probably 20% longer than what we anticipated. And that's okay. Once again, a lot of it due to weather and just coordinating multiple contractors under one roof and still trying to run a club. I mean, I think that's the other thing. There was a Chick-fil-A. Everybody loves Chick-fil-A, right? Best business model probably in America. They're not open on Sundays. You know, they have set hours. Their drive-thrus are phenomenal. You know, you're never waiting. They've created these new mobile lines. But where I go with is that we have two locations here in Winston. One just completely shut down their entire operation for 6 months, ripped it to the ground, completely mm-hmm. built it back up. Zero business. Clubs, I'm not known of any of my colleagues, any of my friends in the industry that have started a construction project in the last 40 years that have not completely closed their club to regular operations in some form or facet. So you're doing some massive type of construction project. Meanwhile, you're still offering your full litany of services to your membership.
It's impressive.
I think it's a testament to just our flexibility as leaders within this industry to know that we're still going to do construction, but we've got to operate a club. I can't think of any clubs right now in the last 5 or 6 years I know that have completely ceased operations.
If there are any clubs out there that have done that, let us know. We would love to chat.
You know, other than like a natural disaster, your club was destroyed with a hurricane.
You mentioned something when we chatted the first time. Can you dive into a little bit your escalating staircase of anger?
Well, it's not anger. I call it the escalating staircase of confrontation.
I guess anger is what came into my head when we were.
What is it? Individuals hear 90% of what they want to, right? What was really said. No, I use it. Was fortunate enough to work under the director of security at one of my previous locations, and for years he was a undercover detective for narcotics task force of the Atlanta Police Department. And just his outlook on life, one, is remarkable. But one thing that he taught me, and not only I was taught, but also learned in dealings with him, is just when you're presented with any type of confrontation, how you addressed it initially will carry you throughout the entire duration of whatever situation. And I use it in training with our team as kind of the stepping stone or the staircase of escalation. Whereas if 10 is at a top, everybody's screaming and yelling at everyone and each other, you definitely won't be at a 10. But sometimes when you're presented with confrontation, if the individual you're talking to is at a 5, you've got to start at least at a 3 or a 2. If you come in at a 5 immediately, if you match their intensity, you match their emotion, you're just going to propel yourself to a 6 or a 7. And where I've seen that success in diffusing any type of situation is you maintain, even tone within your voice. You're respectful. You listen a lot, but you try to diffuse it. And 9 times out of 10, if you stay always 1 or 2 steps below, those individuals will come down at least to your level or a lot lower than when you started. So what you're trying to prevent is that 9-10, embarrassment for both sides. People are yelling, and in a private club, it's just never a good never a good situation. Or really, yeah. when you're dealing with staff issues. I mean, I think that's the biggest one that I've taken away. When you've got to have those uncomfortable conversations with folks, but if you meet their intensity right off the bat, it's just going to escalate. And your job, in two things within this industry, is one, you're never to have confrontation with anyone, right? I was taught that many, many years ago. Your job is not to have conflict as a leader within the club industry, or really in anything in hospitality. And then two, if you're able to de-escalate a situation and just let folks be heard, the outcome 9 times out of 10 is much better than when it started. So that's my staircase of anger, as you refer, but we call it the escalating staircase of emotion.
Yeah, I just have a dash and escalating staircase, but then the gap between staircase of and anger is definitely a bit longer. So I think if I went to probably put it, but my head went other places and put anger. That's so funny.
But I mean, that's, hey, like I said, what if you remember it though? But see, you've been able to associate staircase anger at the height of the staircase. I'm furious. You know, at the bottom, I'm not quite there yet. So it's our job to make sure we never get to the top.
It is funny. And then my note right under that, it just says the fine art of not telling people no.
kind of back to my first one. You're not to have conflict. You're not to be an individual or an entity of conflict within the club industry. I think that is one of the best lessons I ever learned, and was taught by one of my mentors, a former GM of mine. And it's a hard lesson to learn, but I think it's one of the most valuable ones. And some of that is, yeah, they're here to have fun. Let's not tell them no every time they want to do something fun. But yet be mindful of everyone else's, enjoyment, while they're using the facilities.
Yeah, it's like they teach in sales. There's always like commit first, or like, you know, agree to what they're saying. Hey, can we get this? Oh, of course we can. Yeah. But, you know, there's always like, oh, of course. Just that first, like, of course we can. It's going to cost, but, you know, there's of course you can always do everything. There's always something else that's better or whatnot.
Yeah. You know the acronym for BUT, right?
No.
Behold the underlying truth.
That's funny.
I can do this, but it's going to cost X.
Yep. Oh, what's in that styrofoam cup, sir?
Oh, little coffee here. I'm on my second cup of the day. I'm usually about a 3 to 4 cup kind of guy.
Oh, wow.
And then just wean off and then water the rest of the day. So used to be a deadly combo. Well, I shouldn't say deadly. It's probably the wrong choice of words, but coffee and tea here in the South. And,
a lot of caffeine.
That's a lot of caffeine. That's a lot of caffeine. My body didn't react to that very well.
What do you mix in your coffee?
First cup of the day is just a spoonful of, brown sugar. Well, I shouldn't say brown sugar, turbinade sugar. And then the rest of the day, it's just black.
Respect.
Yeah. Strong. Now I will like a, you know, Starbucks latte, every now and then, guilty pleasure.
Really get your fix.
Yeah.
Man, conference. You can go right over there to the corner and, they had the good stuff.
Oh man. It's, I mean, 24/7. I mean, you're just wired. I mean, I learned many years ago, just bring your own cup. I mean, it's just, you know, try to skimp you. I need the full 16 to 20 ounces.
That's smart. Yeah. Bring your own cup.
Less trips.
Hope you all enjoyed that episode. Thank you so much, Josh. Look forward to many more fun conversations and good conversations that you and I are going to have. If you have not done so already, sign up for our newsletter. Head on over to privateclubradio.com right up on top. Let's get all the weekly content that we release in a nicely organized email. In the same token, if you are enjoying the content, please like, share, subscribe. Anything you can do to help our channel move forward means the absolute world. and that's it. Until next time, catch y'all on the flippity flip.